welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Well, for those of you who have been here for the last month or so and have been walking with us through this series of messages and studies during your week called Downpour, I don't have to tell you that especially the last 4 weeks, counting today, have been some very, very tough things to think about. As you come on Sundays and listen to the messages and participate in your downpour groups and allow these things to sort of settle in upon you and do their work in your life, I'm sure that you've been feeling, especially the last 3 weeks, as we've talked about sin and repentance. My guess is that by now you may be feeling a little overwhelmed just by the material. And I wanted to take a moment today as we begin to just kind of let you know where we're going in the coming weeks. And I want you to know that even though the topics we've been looking at together have been very, very hard, I want you to know there's hope coming. Okay? Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
There's hope coming. If you haven't been here, here's just a quick picture of where we've been. January 23rd, we started this series by looking at the fact that we need a downpour from God. We looked at Hosea 6 and how God said very clearly to his people, you've strayed from me and I've torn you and I've wounded you, but I've done that so that I could heal you, so that I could restore you. And if you will humble yourselves and repent and cry out to me, he promised that he would come to us like the rains, like the downpour, the showers that come and water the earth, that God longs so much to come and do that in our lives. Well, that was kind of the introduction. And then for the next 2 Sundays, we took time to look at the holiness of God. And the messages were entitled, God on the Throne, a picture of holiness. Because that is the rightful place to begin. Seeing God for who he is will begin to show us who we really are and what our response to a holy God should be. For the next 2 Sundays, we talked about sin in the mirror, a picture of brokenness, taking an honest look at the things in our life that displease God, not playing games, not pushing them into the shadows and pretending they're not there, but taking an honest look in the mirror and becoming broken over our sin. And then last Sunday and today, we're looking at the topic of self in the dirt, a picture of repentance. And I was discussing with some of the folks this week about how spending 4 weeks on sin and repentance has been very, very difficult. And I don't know if you're feeling it, but it's just been tough. And it's almost like, did anybody ever hold you under the water and you were struggling to get up and it was fun for the first 5 seconds, but then after that you're like, all right, I got about 5 more seconds and I'm going to die. I've got to get out of here. And preparing these messages every week and bringing them every Sunday has been brutally hard on me. I shared with our leaders this week. I got to tell you, I feel like I have hit the wall. Just looking at this material and saying, God, I'm opening my heart to you. I want you to come in and show me the things in my life that are displeasing to you, and I want to deal with them. And so last week and today, we're going to talk about self in the dirt, a picture of repentance. And then here's what we're going to do. Next Sunday, Actually, for the next two Sundays, we're taking a break from Downpour. No 9 o'clock groups, but we'll have our regular 10:30 service. We're just going to take a little break, catch our breath. Next Sunday, we're having communion. It's always a great time for our church. And then the following week, on the 20th, we're having some baby dedications at the start of the service, and then some really special things for you at the end of the service. Just some great celebrations of what God is doing in the lives of people here. And then on March 27th, we're going to pick back up with our Downpour groups and our Downpour study in here, and we're going to kind of finish the last part of this Downpour series. And I told you there was good news coming, and on the 27th, here's where the really amazing news starts, as we take 2 weeks to look at Christ on the cross, a picture of grace. Anybody ready to be there? I'm ready. Listen, don't miss those Sundays. Invite some friends to come. It's going to be an amazing time as we just immerse ourselves in the grace of God. And then we wrap up the series with the following 2 weeks after that, talking about Spirit in Control, a picture of power. How it's not your job, it's not my job, to try to live this Christian life through our own determination and discipline. Yeah, God expects us to do our part, but listen, I think sometimes we forget when Jesus told his disciples, "I'm going away," and they gasped, and he said, "Don't worry, I'm sending someone to you who will be better than having me here. The Holy Spirit will come and indwell you and empower you to live this life." So I just wanted to take a second to let you know where we're going, and that's going to lead us right up to Easter. Can you believe that? We're already thinking about Easter, but that's where we're headed. And then the week after Easter, we're planning just a great celebration service together. So that's kind of where we're headed. But for one more Sunday, today, I want to call our attention back to what we started talking about last week. Self in the dirt, a picture of repentance. You go, wow, that's kind of a weird expression, self in the dirt. What in the world does that mean? Well, in Bible times, and actually in certain parts of the world, even today, they still practice this. When someone was broken over something to the point where they were through masquerading and playing games and they were completely humbled and broken and overwhelmed by something, and they wanted to truly get back in a right place with God. This sounds so bizarre to us, but what they would do is they would take off their nice clothes and they would go and get, we don't even really know what it is today. I'm sure some of you adults do, burlap bags, potato sacks. And they would put on sackcloth instead of their nice clothes. Now, I got to tell you, remember that Sunday I had that itchy shirt on up here and almost went crazy? Okay, that was a walk in the park compared to what it must be like to wear burlap. Sackcloth. I mean, the itchiest, most uncomfortable thing you can imagine having next to your skin. They would go and put on sackcloth. And then they would go outside. They had fires constantly burning in those days. They had no central heat. They had no ovens. And so fires were always going. And they had ash heaps that they would take the ash out and dump it outside. And they would go out in this, dressed in this horrible, uncomfortable burlap. And they would go and sit in the pile of ashes. And they would take handfuls of the ashes and they would rub it all over their skin. And then often they would go and get dirt, and handfuls of dirt they would pick up and they would pour on top of their head, and they would sit there before God in that state. You go, well, that's really weird. I think sometimes in our Western culture we've missed out on some of the things they used to do, like building altars. When God met with someone somewhere, they would stop what they were doing and gather rocks and build an altar on the side of the road so that everybody else who ever passed by that spot would say, "Hey, honey, look, God met with someone there." Oh, we've missed that. But this sackcloth and ashes, self in the dirt, was a remarkable statement that they were making. Listen, they were saying, don't miss this, they were saying, I don't care about keeping up appearances anymore. Hello. I don't care to look nice on the outside and pretend that everything is okay. I don't want to keep up appearances anymore. I've reached a place in my life where I am humbling myself before God and before everybody around me. And I'm going outside and I'm sitting in the ash heap. And I'm going to pour dirt on my head as a symbol of saying, I'm through playing games, God. I have brought myself now as low as a human can go. I'm humbling myself before you. You ever watch just recently, the Oscars and the red carpet parade? Are you kidding me? How pompous do people have to be to go and parade themselves in front of the cameras and make sure that they turn and everybody gets a shot of them? Well, what are you wearing? Oh, I'm wearing Vanna Gabbana or whatever, whoever it happens to be. I'm like, who cares what you're wearing? How pretentious. I mean, it's like we just accept that in our society. Oh, how cool. Yeah, look at me. And I wonder sometimes, isn't that exactly what we do in our lives? God is calling us to put on sackcloth and repent before Him, but we'd rather keep on wearing our Versace and pretend that everything is okay. Are you with me this morning? Repentance is the key that brings renewal and revival. Why? Because repentance humbles us before God. You remember God said, I resist the proud, but I give grace to who? To the humble. God can't do anything with a proud heart. God is waiting for us to humble ourselves before Him and invite Him to come in and do His work on us. But we need to know that true repentance produces evidence of the changes that we claim have taken place on the inside. There must be a before and after. Have you seen it's not SlimFast, I think it's Nutrisystems. Have you seen the commercials of Dan Marino and all these famous people going, that was me before Nutrisystems. I was 45 pounds heavier, and look at me now. And Nutrisystems actually contacted me to do one of the after shots. I'm just too busy. But, you know, there you see it right on your TV screen, the before and after. And would you have any problems believing that? You go, that's a product I could believe in. Because I've seen the before, and I've seen the after. And we need to understand that true repentance always bears evidence in our lives of what has taken place on the inside. Matthew 3:8. John the Baptist said this, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I'm 47 and my voice is still cracking. I don't know. Is that a normal thing, or should I make an appointment with a doctor? I don't know. I'm young at heart. Maybe that's what it is. Produce fruit, he said, in keeping with repentance. Paul said it this way in Acts 26, verse 20. He said, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God, there's no period there, and prove their repentance by their deeds. Now, don't get this mixed up. I don't have time to spend on this thought today, but producing fruit in our lives and having the right deeds in our life does not earn us salvation. We're saved by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ, not by anything we can do. But the fruits, the deeds that the Bible talks about, that James speaks about so often, are the result of a changed life, not the reason for a changed life. In your Downpour book this week, I just want to kind of touch on this very quickly. I'm going to let you actually dig through this instead of us doing it today, but they talk about the fruit of repentance, that there ought to be evidence in our life of the change that has taken place. And your book looks at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 or 9 through 11. And here are five things that he mentions that ought to be evident in our life. Number one, and we've talked about a number of these, grief over sin. Number two, repulsion towards sin. Number three, restitution toward others. Number four, revival toward God. Number four, revival toward God. And number five, and this is one of the keys, moving forward. Now, as you work through your book, that's an important point to think about. I'll touch on that again in just a few minutes. Galatians 5:22 tells us that once we are made new in Christ, there ought to be certain fruit that is evident in our life, and it lists them here for you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so as you go through your study this week, be thinking about the evidence that ought to be coming out of our lives as a result of the repentant hearts that we've had and the changes that we have made in our heart with God. Jesus said there are two types of people. In John 15, if you have your Bible, turn there quickly. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said there are two types of people, those who bear fruit and those who don't bear fruit. And I just want to read these words. I would encourage you this week to go and spend some time in John 15 and just allow this to sort of seep into your life. These are not trivial words that Jesus spoke early in his ministry when he couldn't think of what else to preach on. These are words that he spoke to his disciples just hours before his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion. He said in John 15:1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." And then he says to them, "Remain or abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now look at verse 8. "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Here's what I want to share with you this morning. We've come through some very, very hard sermons these last few weeks. And as I said, it's easy for us to get discouraged just thinking about those things. But we need to know that the reason God calls us to deal with our sin and to repent of those things before Him is not to keep us down, not to keep us groveling in the dirt. That's not His desire. Did you pick up some of the things as we read through the words of Jesus in John 15? He wants us to bear fruit in our life. He wants us to be clean before Him so that, here are just a few, so that our lives will be fruitful, so that we will bring glory to God. Hey, Do you want your life to bring glory to God? Man, I do. When it's all said and done, I want God to look down on my life and go, boy, he sure messed up a lot, but at the end of the day, he brought me glory. What a great epitaph. He wants to do this so that we'll bring glory to him. He wants us to do this so that we'll be a witness to others. He wants us to do this so that we'll remain in his love. And here's a great perk, so that our life will be filled with joy. We so often think that the commands of God are burdensome and that he's being a killjoy by trying to keep us from really enjoying life. The truth is, God's commands are the things that set us free, that help us to understand what living life is really all about. But in order for those things to happen in our life, we first have to submit ourselves to the loving hands of the pruning shears. We have to allow God to draw close enough to us to begin to cut away some things in our lives that don't need to be there. And that's exactly what we've been talking about these last 3 weeks. Looking at those things in our lives that God has pointed out and said, you need to let me take that. It doesn't belong in the life of a child of God. Why are you clinging to that thing? The dentist has to cause us some temporary pain in order to remove the bad tooth so that we can ultimately be free of pain. The surgeon has to cut the skin and cause us temporary pain in order to remove the cancer that is killing us. But there has to be a process of pain in order to be healed. We've been asking God to come to us and to cut away the diseased areas of our lives these past 3 weeks, so that we can be healthy and so that we can bear more fruit. Every skilled gardener knows, they're called vine dressers. Every vine dresser will tell you that the worst thing he can do for his vineyard is just to let it run wild. It's the worst thing he can do. The kindest thing he can do is to carefully and skillfully walk the rows of that vine and begin to trim away some of the diseased branches that are stealing the life from the healthy branches. And as he prunes and cuts off in time, that vine, that wounded vine, will explode with new life that it never would have had. And I would guess if we could talk to the vine and the vine could talk to us, when it sees the pruning shears coming towards it, it would yell out and say, whoa, whoa, I don't need any of that. I'm fine. I'm good to go. What are you cutting that off for? That's part of me. Don't take that. And we do the same thing in our lives when God convicts us of things. We wrestle with him sometimes and we hold on to those things and we fight him over taking them from us. But we need to know that just as with a vine, when the dead and diseased branches are cut away, new life begins to bloom in that vine. You see, those areas in our life that we've been holding on to, we think they're giving us life, but they're the very things that are robbing us of true life. We think they're giving us happiness and joy, but they're the very things that are stealing our happiness and joy. God said in Jeremiah's day, in Jeremiah 2:13, he said this, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." We think that by holding on to some of the things in our lives and not surrendering them to God, that we'll find joy and meaning and purpose and freedom. But those are the very things that are keeping us from being free. I was thinking this week back to when I was a boy in South Africa. I had a birthday coming up, and I saw a bicycle in a store window in a little store down in one of the little towns there near us. And it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And, you know, I was a little kid, and I just started talking about that bike nonstop. Mom and Dad, do you think there's any way that you could get that bike for me for my birthday? I mean, I'd do anything. It's the coolest bike. And, you know, I was just going on and on and on about it. And my birthday party came, and I got no gift at all. And the birthday party ended, and I was devastated. And my mom said, Phil, would you go out on the back porch and get whatever for me? And I went out, and there was the bike on the back porch. And man, I was the happiest kid in Germiston, South Africa. I mean, I rode that thing all the time. I learned how to do wheelies on it. I built ramps and jumped and all that stuff that boys do. And man, you know, I knew it. If I just had this bike, I would be complete and I would be happy. Well, I was a little kid. Give me a break. And I was happy, and I loved the bike, and I rode it. But you know another memory that I have of that bike is when we were packing up to leave the mission field. I remember looking outside, and we were a few weeks away from leaving and trying to get rid of stuff. I remember looking outside one day and seeing that abandoned bike that I had a year or so before outgrown and didn't need anymore. And it was laying there against the wall outside with two flat tires, rust on different parts of the bike. You see, that thing that I thought I needed so badly in life now meant nothing to me. And isn't that what we do in our lives, church? We have things that we want to get, whether it's relationships, whether it's material possessions, whether it's addictions, whether it's whatever it is, and we think, man, this is making me so happy. This is going to make me happy forever. And then we wake up one day and we realize that it's not making us happy at all. And God longs to come and prune away, to chip away those dead areas of our life that are keeping us from looking like His Son Jesus. I want to close this morning by showing you a video. A friend here sent me the link to this video. I think it was last year, and I was just blown away by it. And I kind of tucked it away for whenever the right moment would be to share it with you. Normally when we show videos in the sermon, they're like 3 or 4 minutes long. This one's a little bit longer than that. It's 9 minutes, and with this, we're done. But I want you, can y'all focus for 9 minutes? Can we do that? If I told you that at the end of 9 minutes, if you focus, you'd get $1 million, we'd all be focusing, right? But listen, listen, I got to tell you, this is one of the simplest videos I've ever seen. It's two guys standing on a stage talking. And it starts out kind of lighthearted. But I'm telling you, about 4 minutes into this video, I really believe that it captures more perfectly than anything I have ever seen the struggle that goes on inside every one of us. Because I believe this about you, church. As I talk to you and interact with you and watch your lives and see the things of God coming out of your life, I believe that every one of us in here who knows Christ would say, it is my heart's desire, my deepest desire in life is to honor God and to be a man and or a woman of God. That is what I truly long for. But church, do you feel the struggle going on in your life every single day? Do you feel it? I want to be a godly man. And God says, well, in order for that to happen, I have to take this from you. And there's that fight. No, God, not that. I don't want to give that up. I think this video captures better than anything I have ever seen in my life the power of that struggle that takes place within us. Please watch this and let it sink into your heart.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, that we're in essence His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso, you know? But I want to be a masterpiece. I want to be everything that God has created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, God, do whatever it takes to get things out of my life that don't need to be there. Mold me into the image of Your Son so that I can be Your masterpiece.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you just said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know, if I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I really don't want to do that.
See, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
Yes, I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
You know what? I'm not so much into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did. Yep, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go. Okay. All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's this about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Here we go. Step okay. right up. Here we go. All right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How do you know what to chisel and what to leave?
I take out all the things in your life that aren't of me, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of that, could you chisel right in here? I just can't get rid of it. I mean, the other went away, but this, I mean, I've tried exercising, I've watched what I ate, I even did Pilates for a while. That was awkward. But if you could chisel,
all
I mean,
right?
Right?
Can I talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk, chisel.
No,
talk,
no, no, chisel.
All right, most of my children just like to talk.
Not me. Bring on the chisel.
Here we go. All right. You have a lot of anger.
Ow.
Some pride.
Ow.
Compare yourself to others instead of me.
Ow.
You're lazy, but you pretend like you're really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Okay, time out. I do not have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Okay. Wait. Maybe we can take a little time out. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good.
You are doing good, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay. Then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and others need to see my son. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Don't take this the wrong way. It's just that when I start looking more like your son, people get uncomfortable around me, you know? I mean, even my friends at church, they're all like, oh, you're holier than thou. Why won't you do that, you know? I mean,
so what you're doing right now is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
I did not say that.
That's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. I mean, you know everything I'm thinking. I'm just saying, you've done good work. Maybe we take a little break, a little time out. We'll come back to
right.
it.
What you're doing right now is so common. What you're doing right now is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel.
Here we go.
Yo, can we chisel where I want them?
It's called control.
Okay.
You've been holding on to this for a long time. You ready for this?
Hurts.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Ow! I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again. And expecting different results. And there are the things in your life, you even think back to high school, that you've been doing that do not work in your life, but you go to these empty wells whenever you're hurting, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely and tired, but they do not work.
No, okay. I'm thinking maybe
your
we can...
Thoughts are not my thoughts.
Oh, okay, but if we went another way,
your
we
ways
could...
are not my ways.
Okay, well look, I can't be good.
You can't be good. I've made you good. Be good. What?
Nothing.
What is it?
You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
just, God, I've let you down so many times.
No, you were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand, and don't you forget that. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away.
All right.
Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because God, I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And it is this scared little kid who gets up every day and tries to dress like an adult and act like an adult, but I can't. So just be prepared for what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that are not of me. You think you're junk, don't you? You really, really, really think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't make junk. What does that say about me? How can I show you that my love for you has no boundaries? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I was just saying, God, I'll do that right now.
You were just saying my name in vain.
You know what? It's a name. It's a saying.
It's more than a name. It's more than a saying. It's more than a bad habit. It's a name above all names. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket. You know what that is?
This is a page from a journal I had when I was younger. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie Holland.
Other side.
Sorry. I married her.
I was there.
Oh, yeah. Dear God, today I am turning everything over to you. I'm not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you will make me your masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how it's possible, but I want that with all that I am. So please do whatever it takes to make me what you want. I love you, God.
I love you too, Tommy. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. So this salvation that you hold, don't let it be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And don't compare yourself to someone else, because that is just trivial nonsense. You are my original masterpiece. You are one of my workmanship, and you I find favor. This, don't look at this as a prison, but look at this as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, it'll be tough. But you bought into the lie, thinking everything was going to be easy when you said yes to me. It's not how it works. I want you to do something. I want you to look up there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy.
No. The way you see yourself, or you yearn so much for others to see you. But the way I see you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
So are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Amen. That's the note that I wanted to leave on this morning. 4 weeks of really heavy, heartbreaking sermons, calling us to look at our sin and to repent before God. But I want you to know this morning, repentance is not a bad thing. It's what God longs to do in the lives of His children to make us more like His Son. I pray that through these messages, and as you leave here today and ponder all of this in your heart, I pray that you and I will learn to surrender ourselves to God's chisel, the things that He needs to remove from our life to make us more like Him. Let's pray. Father, I read again this week in Luke 15. I'm not sure that I had ever noticed this part before. I've read this story so many times, but you showed me something brand new this week that just encouraged me. How God is pictured as a shepherd, and when one of his sheep gets lost, he goes out looking for it. And when he finds it, he doesn't yell at it and scold it. The Bible says that joyfully, he picked it up and put it on his shoulders and carried it back to the fold. And when he got there, he called all his friends and threw a party because the one that was lost had been found. God, I think sometimes we see you as a mean old man who's out to get us, who hates us when we fail. And yet, God, your word shows us clearly the love that you have for us and how it's through your love that you call us to repentance. God, I just pray that we would allow ourselves to be embraced by that love, that we would allow you to pick us up and put us on your shoulders and take us back to the fold so that our lives can be fruitful for you and bring you glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.